Hallelujah! It's great to be here again this evening. This one been, Lord, give me a couple weeks ago. It's been growing and growing, and some events happened that fell right in line with this. The question is, why are we here? Why are we here? Let's pray. Lord, we're gathered here again this evening, Lord, to praise your name, Lord. Give glory and honor to you as best we can, Lord, to seek your forgiveness where we fail you, Lord. We are humbled, Lord, to hear your word, Lord, and we just ask that you guide us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Stir within each and every one of us, Lord, what you need for us to know out of this message tonight, Lord. I praise your name. I pray for those that couldn't be here tonight for whatever reason, Lord. You touch their hearts as only you can. I do ask for you to forgive me, get me out of the way, let your Spirit flow freely among us. And again, I ask for you to forgive me. In your favor, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Why are we here? That's a question that's twofold. Why are we here on earth as human beings? Why are we here tonight at Drift Run Church? Okay, we're going from the big spectrum to the small spectrum. To an individual heart, okay, and I'll get to some scriptures here in a little bit, and let me warn you, we're going from the front to the back, and parts there in between. And that don't mean it'll be an hour though. So relax, okay. So why are we here? And some of the answers I just tried to come up on evolution is that why are we here? Okay. Now, I think about it. You switched two words. I got to thinking about that yesterday. You switched two words. Why are we here is a question. Why we are here is an answer. Okay? So here's some of evolution's answers as best as this simple mind can comprehend. Evolution is by an accident. Okay? Evolution is an unproven theory. Okay? Evolution is man's guess. Correct? I mean, you know, simple mind here, but still, that's pretty accurate. Did anybody hear about the debate this week? Bill Nye, the science guy, and Ken Ham. And I didn't get to hear it directly. I've talked to a few gentlemen that have. He's supposed to actually bring it to work tomorrow, so I'll be able to hear it. But here's some of the things we just talked about. And this happened after the Lord had laid on my heart, why are we here? So it's kind of fell in line. And think about this in your own minds, to assume that this all, and let me tell you, this brain has really been fried thinking about all this stuff, because this is not geared for that. But think about it. If you're pursuing to figure out why we are here, and you will not let God in the equation, you have to go into it with a preconceived idea that there is no God. So you've already said there is no God when you start the search, if you're in evolution. You agree?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Like I say, I'm just a simple person here, and we'll get into scriptures where that backs us up, that we're simple people. Okay. And these are great, intelligent folks that are seeking these answers without God. Okay? So, just think for a minute on billions of years. Man cannot comprehend that. None of us in this room can, and I guarantee you, the guy that debated Ken Ham does not comprehend a billion years. They think they might, but you can't comprehend a billion. Now here's one that was really, they just discussed Noah's Ark. Okay. And the more I dwelled on that, his responses were, there were 40 experts tried to duplicate the Ark, the measurements and all that there is. They did say they made it just a bit smaller, but they tried to duplicate it. 40 experts, and there was no way that they could fit the number of animals that was supposed to be in there, that the scripture says, and that the boat could not take the flex. You know, that's way beyond me, the structural whatever. Okay. And I thought to myself, because if he's talking about the ark, then he's got to think, well, there maybe how'd the men get there? But it was like they were saying that work, and I was going, duh, they didn't have God helping them. He said, how can seven people do that? I wrote seven. I think it's eight in the family. Debbie and I talked about that. There was eight in the family, so probably the three wives, the four ladies. I'm sure they helped with the men bringing in the wood and all that. I agree with him 100%. I don't think they could have done it neither. Without God. God closed the door. I did have a scripture for that, and I'll read that real quick to you. That's Genesis 7, 12 through 16. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, and every bird of every sort. And they went unto Noah, into the ark, two and two, and all the flesh wherein the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, and as God commanded him, and the Lord shut the door. Okay. Now, do you suppose those people that were still on the outside, you suppose they believed there was a God at that time? They were totally convinced then. I thought about that when this guy that done this debate. Okay. What is the purpose of an accidentally made man? If we're made by an accident, which that's what evolution is, correct? I'm not wrong here, right? That's what evolution is this whole great big scheme of things happened by a accident. What is a man's purpose? Okay. From the world's perspective, these are things I just wrote down in my mind, to acquire material things. That's what the world's teaching right now, right? To achieve great power and authority. That'll make you happy. That'll give you a purpose. To become filled with great knowledge. Okay. Last night, I was flipping the channels, come across a Billy Graham crusade from the past, 1982. And I just watched it. I was fortunate enough. I got to watch it from beginning to end. They was in the Boston University's stadium, thousands of people. It was full. And his sermon was on instant gratification. Man, did he not preach the exact thing the time we're in today? And this was 1982. Instant gratification sexually, he preached on that. Financially, wisdom, everything in an instant. And we think a lot about some of our children growing up. And I was the same way. When I was growing up, I thought I should just step right into the mainstream and have everything my parents did. I forgot about I didn't realize what my parents had went through to get to that point. That's where we're at today. Instant gratification. He talked about, and this was real good, because if you know anything about Billy Graham, he was well received everywhere. Many countries, even in homes, in rulers, kingdoms, millionaire's house. And he was talking about, he did not name the millionaire, but he said him and his wife was in the millionaire's house. And he said the man would sob uncontrollably. He said, Billy, he would say, I have everything money can buy. I can go anywhere I take a whim to, and I'm most miserable. And Billy Graham said, we shared the gospel with him, and he could not grasp it. He could not comprehend that that's where happiness is. So there's a man without God. I got 3 pages of notes. You believe that? Ken Ham, and this was real good. And one of the people that I communicated with about this, one was an older guy, well established in his church, invited me to come up to their church. They was showing it on a big screen, which I wasn't able to go. But I was talking to this 20-year-old new hiree there about it, and he knew that name of the science guy. He went home and looked it up, and he came home, man, he fed me a lot of information about it. For the fact that he's one that has accepted this young fella. He said, I believe God. I believe creation. But he said, Ken Ham, a lot of his responses would be, but we have a book. We have the answers. And, you know, of course they won't really accept the answers, because if they're looking for something without God, they cannot look at this. And one of the responses to We Have the Book was, well, it's been around many, many years, and it's been translated many, many times. It could change when humans are involved. And yeah, you know how we can mess stuff up. But listen what God says right here in Revelation 22:19. See, we went from the front of the book, we're going to the back of the book. Revelation 22:19. Says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. This book will never change. It will never. If God will allow that to change, then God is not God. We might as well throw it away. Okay? God's never changing. That is correct. If God would allow that to change, then this is all for naught, okay? 1 Corinthians 1:27. Simple things, okay? You heard me talking about, you know, I got a simple mind, the simple things of this earth. But God has chosen the foolish things, which is simple, things of the world to confound the wise, okay? And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Simple things. And here's one that really stood out to me. I had to think about it a minute. Does everybody agree water runs downhill? That's a simple thing, right? Now, that proves to me that there's God. Because without gravity, which pulls that downhill, if there was no gravity, and some of you science knowledge people, this would all fly apart. This has to be perfectly balanced. So we can find God in a simple thing as watching water run down a hill. We can find God by walking out the door and looking at snow on the ground. We can find God by walking out that door and looking up into the sky. I think of the clouds going over. I think, praise the Lord. How can people not realize that God created all that? That this is no accident. How can we? Why are we here? Going to back to the front of the book. Genesis 1. 26 and 27 says, Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And if you jump on over to 2:7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Sound like an accident? No. Flat no. Praise the Lord for that. That's why we're here, because He put us here. Okay? He created the first one, and He created every one of us in the womb, whatever it might be. He done it. God done it. God wired us all with the talents that we have. So I'm thinking of the science guy. He's very intelligent, very smart. Why is he that way? God created him that way. God created each and every one of us with a talent to do something for Him. Don't forget that. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we'll sit there and not use the talent God gives us. Guilty, right here. Guilty, right here. I think, how could you use me, God? I have failed at everything. That was saying, I have failed at everything. Lord, I'm humbled before you. I give myself to you. But He gave us free will. Okay? God gave us free will to choose Him or choose evolution. It's one or the other. That's really the only choices there are. Right there, in that respect. Okay, I'm going to lean more toward the Christian life. Okay? For those that have accepted that God created us, that there is a creator that created everything, whether you accept it or not, that's the way it is. That's truth, that's fact, that's scripture. Okay. Now this is for those that have chose God. Why are we here? And this is powerful. I know I've read this before, but I never seen it just like this. And this is so awesome. If I don't get an amen, hallelujah, shout out of somebody, I'm going to sit down. The 4 and 20, Revelations 4, 10 and 11. Revelations 4, 10 and 11. The 4 and 20 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the Lord, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and here's the reason, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. God created you, Greg, for His pleasure. That's right. That's right. That's exciting. That excited me, thinking that He created me for His pleasure. And man, I feel so bad for the time I wasted wallowing around in my self-pity, looking for my pleasure, when the God, the Creator of everything, created me for His pleasure. Wow! We didn't get nothing else, we got that. That's why we are here. Okay. Going to break it on down just a little bit more. Why are we here? Adrift run tonight. Ask yourself that. Ask yourself that. Why are you here tonight? I'm going to read Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And I really pray that that's part of your answer. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And provoke is excitement. Did we have some excitement this morning when those testimonies come out? Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. To encourage one another. We're here to worship tonight. Amen. We're not here to listen to some guy rattle off the head up here. We're here to listen to God's Word. Amen. We're here to fellowship one with another. We're here to encourage one another. Right, Jason? Lift each other up. We need each other. And the other side says we're brainwashed. I thought about that brainwashed. Yeah, I want brainwashed. My heart's been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And I'd like to see my brain get washed, all that trash out of there, so I can focus on nothing but the Word of God. nothing but on what He's done for us. Amen. Praise the Lord tonight. That's right. They said we're brainwashed by hymns. And some of the, I was listening to the hymns we sang to be in heaven. The testimonies. Man, Greg jumped up so quick this morning. You knew that was from the Lord. Everybody usually says, I don't want to be first. You know, I don't want to be first. He didn't care. He jumped up to share whatever the Lord had done in his life. And that's what a testimony is, folks. We got to share what the Lord has done in our life. Proclaiming the Lord. Not me stand up and say, hey, Jamie's going to testify. No, I want to stand up humbly and say, look what the Lord done for me today. Paul's sister. That was a very touching, from the heart testimony right there. That's encouraging one another. That's why we come together. If we don't share those with others, somebody might need that. I need every one of them. I do. Okay, about done. Okay, why are we still here on earth then? I remember asking my friend John Arnold. You've heard me mention his name before. I said, well, John, you know, he really ministered to me. He's the one that helped me to understand faith. I said, John, why does God leave us here in this mess, in this struggle that we talked about in the Sunday school class recently, that your sermons have been about, the struggle with the carnal man and the spiritual man? Why does He leave us here? You know what? We got a book. We got a book, Philippians 1, 21 through 24, and it's Paul talking, but it should be all of us. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Miss Patty, that's on Rick's monument. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, and that W-O-T means know not. I don't know. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, in the flesh is more needful for you. We need to be here to testify. Somebody might need our testimony. We need to be here to witness outside these doors. We need to be here to share the gospel. We need to be here to let God be proven. Think about that. God can use you, prove Himself to you. I thought this morning, God showed Himself to us this morning. He did. That was proof to me right there that God is real, that God created all this. Those heartfelt testimonies, they don't come from some accident. They don't come from somebody seeking something but God. Ephesians 6:19. General Electric Power Company. John Arnold taught me that one time. General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians 6:19 says, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's your job, Ryan. That's your job, Debbie. That's our job. That's why we're still here. Amen. Now I'm about to close. If you want to come get ready for a song. Some may have accepted the fact of God's creation, but not accepted Jesus as their Savior. Okay, if you have accepted that God is Creator and you've never accepted Him as your Savior, you know what boat you're in? You're in the same boat that the evolutionists are. That's hard, but that's fact. You either are or you ain't. And if you ain't, that's a simple word. If you ain't, now's the time to do it.